Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we'll have class number 6 of the spiritual clinic, and actually it is the class number 3 related to the topic of Allah's mercy. And the topic of today is the message of hope in Allah's mercy, the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the journey of mercy over mercy. And the title is, what do you think of a people when Allah is with them? Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about Allah's mercy at the time of trials. As last week, we already learned about the stories of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Jacob during time of hardship. It will be our pleasure and our honor to know about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which touched the heart of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during a very critical and difficult time of his calling to Allah. Actually, it is the journey of immigration from Mecca to Medina, which is called the Hijra. It is one of the greatest landmarks in the history of Islam. It is a unique event in the history of mankind. The Islamic calendar is counted from the year of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migration from Mecca to Medina. Actually, the Hijra, that is the event that marks the beginning of the construction of an ideal Islamic society in all aspects of life, and it contains several lessons. It is a message of hope in the mercy of Allah to the believers in Allah's mercy. The immigration. Now, inshallah, we will learn about the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, so that we will learn and we will realize and we will believe how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every step in this journey, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to succeed while he was having a lot of trials in this journey. Actually, we will start by learning that as the message of Islam was revealed in Mecca to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was all the time calling upon the various Arab tribes and trying to invite them to Islam. Whenever he said to one of the tribes, surely I am the messenger of Allah, I advise you to worship Allah alone and not to associate anyone with him, immediately Abu Lahab, one of the Quraysh tribe leaders, he would shout, he is a liar, don't believe him. And he would start throwing dust on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was that the tribes kept away from him, saying, if he was calling for something good, his own people would not have left him. Actually, this was the situation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, and it is a clarification that it was a very difficult one, and actually people were not trying to follow his call to Islam except the very poor slaves. Actually, at the same time, the Arabs in Yathrib. We need to know that Yathrib is a small city near Mecca. Actually, the name of that city, Yathrib, was changed to Al-Madina. Al-Madina means the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The name was changed from Yathrib to Al-Madina after the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Yathrib. So actually, the Arabs in Yathrib were composed of two tribes called Al-Aus and Al-Khazraj. Both used to worship idols. And during one of the Hajj seasons, actually, the Hajj to Mecca was a custom even before Islam. At that time, people come to Mecca to trade from all around, and tribes meet each other. So it happens that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he met with some. Actually, there were six men coming from Yathrib. He met with them and he invited them to Islam. After he recited some verses from the Quran, they embraced Islam and they agreed upon a place and a time to meet with him the next year. This was the first relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through those six men whom they accepted Islam as soon as they listened to the verses of the Quran, and they promised Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come back and to meet him the next year. Actually, these men, six men, they returned to Yathrib after meeting the Prophet and declaring their Islam. They began to invite their people to Islam until it spread among them. There was not a household left from the Arabs of Yathrib where you would not find the news of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time passed by and the season for Hajj came again. This time, 12 honorable men from the Arabs of Yathrib, they went out to Mecca and they met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They promised not to associate anyone with Allah, not to steal, not to commit adultery, and not to kill their children. And actually, that is to say, to become Muslims. This was called the first covenant of Al-Aqaba. It is called Al-Aqaba because it was at a place called Al-Aqaba. After Hajj, these 12 men, they went back to Yathrib. The Prophet sent one of his companions with them, Mus'ab ibn Umair, to teach them Islam, Quran, and the various aspects of their religion. Another year passed, and it was another season for Hajj. This time the Muslims, 73 men and 2 women, they went out from Yathrib to Mecca for Hajj. They met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his uncle to those people coming from Yathrib. As you know, Muhammad is from us. He is honored among his people, but he is insisted on joining you. You have to live up to the responsibility that you are now carrying. If you see you are going to bend him over and let him down after what he did for you, then leave him now. They said, "We heard what you said, so speak, O Prophet of Allah, and ask for yourself and Allah whatever you like." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As I ask you for a covenant to protect me from what you protect me, your own wives and your children." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam extended his hand, and those people, they are called the Ansar. The Ansar means the supporters. They gave him a covenant to protect him if he immigrated to their land. This was called the second covenant of Al-Aqaba. Actually, Islam spread to Yathrib while persecution was continuing in Mecca, where Quraysh used to harm the Muslims. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered those who believed in Islam and he told them, "Allah has indicated for you to place for a place for shelter where you can be safe." He commanded his companions to go out to Yathrib. The Muslims continued to leave their homes, fleeing with their religion. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited for Allah's permission for his immigration. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his sincere companion, came to him asking for permission to leave to Yathrib. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him not to be hasty and to wait, for Allah might provide him with a companion that would join him in this journey. All Muslims had immigrated. None were left except Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the weak Muslims who were prevented from immigration by their masters. The leaders of Quraysh came to know, Quraysh actually is the tribe of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a very famous and very powerful one. Mostly they were disbelievers. So the leaders of the disbelievers, they came to know about the migration of the companions of the Prophet, and they felt very angry because they feared that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might go and join his companions. Then after they grow stronger in Yathrib, he might come back to fight them. They were still worried about their materialistic issues in Mecca, so they were worried that he will return back with his supporters and then he will fight them. Therefore, they decided amongst themselves to take a young man from each tribe and to give him a sword. Then those young men would go to the Prophet and hit him all at once, a single blow that would kill him. The flame of shedding his blood would then be scattered among all the tribes. They were afraid that if one person kill him, the Prophet's tribe and his family would fight the tribe of the killer. As it was the custom of the Arabs to take revenge from both the killer and his tribe. Again and again, they care, you know, for not to be blamed and not to have problems. So they agreed to kill the Prophet during the night time. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his messenger. He sent to him Angel Jibril to tell him not to spend this night in his bed. Inshallah, at the end of the story, we will revise together the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every event of this story, so that inshallah we will feel the mercy of Allah and we will feel how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved and the best human being ever created on the earth. When night time came, Abu Jahl, actually Abu Jahl is also a relative of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he hates Islam too much, and because of that he and the men who considered to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all gathered around the Prophet house. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in, you see, he was supposed not to sleep in the bed. But unfortunately, those people, they came and they were all around the house while he is still in. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he felt their presence, he told to Ali, sleep in my bed, for no harm will reach you from them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was a young man at that time, to sleep in his bed. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sure that no harm will reach Ali radiyallahu anhu from those people, disbelievers. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not save himself and put Ali to be killed instead of him. This is not the manners of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, Ali slept in the bed of the Prophet. The leaders of Quraysh, they thought that it was the Prophet who was sleeping there. And now we will know about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opened the door and he walked out. Allah made his enemies whom they were around the house to be blind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the opening of the verses of Surah Yasin, which we recited now, and he placed the dust on their heads and faces and went to the house of Abu Bakr. Now inshallah we will recite the verses of the Quran which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited while he was going out of his house, while the enemies were all around the house. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually now we will recite surah number, verse number 9 from Surah Yasin, surah number 36. Actually this is the verse which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he recited while he was leaving their house. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we have put a barrier before them and a barrier behind them, and we have covered them up so they cannot see.
See? So this is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, he recited, made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite this surah, this verse of the Quran, this ayah, and also he placed the dust on their heads and faces, and he went out to the house of Abu Bakr. A man then came and saw the men that were waiting to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asked them, what are you waiting here for? They replied, we are waiting for Muhammad. He then told sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then told them, you are not aware that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already went out and didn't leave a man among you except that he placed dust on his head. Do you not see what happened to you? Everyone among them placed his hand over his hair to find dust all over his head. Even they didn't feel the dust. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. They looked and they saw Ali sleeping, alayhi radiallahu anhu, sleeping on the bed. So they said, by Allah, this is Muhammad sleeping. Still they want to believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't escape or leave. So they kept waiting until the next morning. Ali alayhi radiallahu anhu, he then came out of the Prophet's house towards them. They became very angry, and then they went out to search for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They set out together to immigration to Yathrib. Quraysh went out searching for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his friend. They tracked their footsteps and they followed their footprints until they had reached the cave where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were hiding. When they reached the cave in the mountain Tor, Abu Bakr heard the voices of the people. He whispered to the Prophet that those are your people seeking you. If any one of them looked down at their feet, they will see us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied back, comforting him, O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two people who have with them Allah as their third? And actually, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 40. Let us recite this ayah now, which is related to the situation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now we will recite from number 9, verse number 40. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Illa tansuruhu faqad nasarahu Allah. إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you help in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not, it does not matter. For Allah did indeed help him when the disbelievers drove him out. The second of the two, when they, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, were in the cave, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, be not sad or afraid, surely Allah is with us. Then Allah sent down His Sakina, calmness, tranquility, peace, upon him and strengthened him with forces, angels, which he saw not, and made the word of those who disbelieve the lowermost, while the word of Allah that became the uppermost, and Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Inshallah, at the end of the story, we will learn about the meaning of this verse, because actually it is a message of hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every believer. Now we will continue with the story. Actually, as one of the search party came very close to the cave and turned around it, after looking very carefully, he returned back to the search party. So they asked him, "What did you see inside the cave?" He replied, "I saw a spider web which is so old, maybe before Muhammad's birth, and a dove which was nesting with her mate. So I became sure that one could have entered the cave, that no one could have entered the cave recently. Otherwise, the spider web would not have been completed, and the dove would not have nested there." Subhanallah. After hiding 3 days in the cave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they rode their camels towards the Yathrib. Actually, the leaders of Quraysh announced a big prize for the one who would kill or capture Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again and again, they are after him. And Allah's mercy is protecting him. Suraqa ibn Malik, one of the people of Quraysh, he was so insistent on winning the prize. He rode his horse and took his spear and started running in the direction that the Prophet and his companion and the guide rode towards Yathrib. When he came very close to them, he fell off his horse. He then stood up, mounted his horse, and started chasing them again. However, his horse sank into the sand, and he again fell off. He climbed back on to his horse and started running once more after the Prophet. He fell on more time. He shouted asking for help, as it was clear to him that this truly was the Prophet, and Allah will give him victory. He approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him to write him a safety pledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the guide to write him the pledge. Suraqa then returned to Mecca, and whenever he would meet anyone seeking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would turn him away from the path of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his tribe to Yathrib to spread the religion of Allah, and he already spread it in the whole earth. This is the journey of mercy over mercy. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accompany our Prophet, the Prophet of mercy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every moment and in every step. We all believers need to reflect on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the topic of our classes this week. Actually, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will inshallah now reflect on it during the immigration journey of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sincere companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so that it will lighten our spirits with the hope and trust in Allah's mercy during the very difficult times of trials and hardship. Inshallah, we will revise all the events of the journey. Actually, first we need to know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the mankind as a mercy to the mankind. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A basic concept which has to be clear to every believer, every Muslim, and to all mankind. And in Surah number 21, verse number 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that fact, so that we Muslims, every one of us, must know that in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, verse number 107, we will recite it now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies the reality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is just and only a mercy to mankind. In Surah number 21, number 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not but as a mercy for the alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists.
You have to repeat it because so much noise.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to repeat?
Sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not but as a mercy for the alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists.
Actually, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he was just but a mercy, not for the Muslims, not for the believers, for all al-alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. Okay, so the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this trip was on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was but a mercy to all the mankind. Actually, now we will, inshallah, analyze the events of the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, can touch our hearts. So that, inshallah, we will learn the lessons which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, when the Muslims were in Mecca, they were mostly poor slaves who were treated in a very bad way by the ruling leaders of the tribe of Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He sent the people from Yathrib to support Islam and to open a way for those weak Muslims. That is to say, to help them to migrate to Yathrib so that they can construct an Islamic society. It was that their hearts, the first six men whom they came from Yathrib, their hearts were touched by the Quran immediately as they listened to the verses of the Quran. And actually, they invited Prophet Muhammad, they invited their people to Islam, and actually they were the reason that the 75 people came at the second covenant of Al-Aqaba, and they invited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to their city where he and his followers can live and practice their religion. So we have to learn from this event, sisters, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, is the planner and is the decider. While the Muslims were living very difficult life in Mecca and they were treated in a very bad way, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was working and planning to send these six people whom, out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they just listened to the verses of the Quran, immediately they believe in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they returned to Yathrib, and they spread Islam in Yathrib, and they returned with 12 people, and they returned again 75 people. This is the success and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to plan for the believers while they are living difficult life, while they are not aware that the mercy of Allah is around. The mercy of Allah is planning for their success. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is out of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never leave the believers to live a difficult life or not to be in the position where they are supposed to. This is the lesson from the first event of that story. Allah is there. His mercy is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the believers in every second and in every place. Just follow the truth. Just follow the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be aware and always remember that the Muslims in Mecca were not having any hope to live a good life or to spread their religion, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was planning for them all the relief and all the success. And just we have to be patient and we have to have the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to keep the hope always alive. If life is difficult, no problem, because the the mercy of Allah, out of the will of Allah, is working day and night, planning the best for the believers all the time. And inshallah, this has to be the feeling of every one of us. Again, also, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send Angel Jibril to inform Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the plot of his people to kill him. And Angel Jibril commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to sleep in his bed on that night. Again, sisters, if we try to reflect on this event, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inside his house and the enemies are around the house from all the directions and they have the plot to kill him so that his blood will be shed between all the tribes, and they were sure that he will not be able to know about their plot or to escape their plot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one up to his will. This life is run. It is not up to those enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom they were under the impression that we will finalize the issue this night with no problem. Life is not up to any human being. Life is only up to the owner, the creator, the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the only will, the only power and the mercy in this life. People are plotting, people are trying to push their points of view, people are so confident in their points of view because they don't know that their points of view and their plot and whatever they are doing in this life will not be a reality except up to the will of the most merciful. So when we look around as if we are looking to that scene, all the people are around, the enemies are around the house of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were so sure that everything will finish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, sent for him Angel Jibril to tell him about their plot and to give him the command to leave the house that night. This is number one. Number two, it is Allah's mercy to allow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out of his house while the murderers were surrounding it. It is the barrier before them and after them and over them, that he threw the dust over their faces and heads and recited the verses of the Quran which we mentioned, surah number 36 verse number 9, that they become blind, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out. And actually, when they were informed that he went out while they were around and they touched the dust over their heads, they didn't believe. Up to that point, they didn't believe. They were still under the impression that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still inside the house. Until next morning, when they saw Ali radiallahu anhu coming out, so they believed that it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save whomever Allah wants to save, because life is run up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is, sisters, how we have to live the events of the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we feel that all this trip is equal to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the trip of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the trip of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is controlling and planning everything in this worldly life and in the life to come also. Actually, during the physical hijrah, it was Allah's mercy. Number one, this is very important, sisters, okay, to send down the tranquility to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to put the trust in his heart, so that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him that the people are so close to the cave and if they look down they can see us, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes his heart full of tranquility and trust in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just said to him, don't be sad, and what do you think of two people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third one of them? Again and again, sister, this is the tranquility which every believer must have in his or her heart, So long as I am a believer in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the reward of the belief in the worldly life. If I am a, inshallah, true believer in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that I believe that the creator is Allah, the owner is Allah, the one who knows everything is Allah, the planner is Allah, the decider is Allah, the will is the will of Allah, and the mercy is the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah 36, is the same Surah Yasin, okay, actually in the, I have to tell you the number of the verse, in Surah Yasin, I'm recording, in Surah Yasin, Surah number 36, verse number 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be and it is. Okay, so this is, sisters, the reward of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone will tell me, Mona, this and that and this and those people can do for you this and this, I will tell her, sister, hold on. Please revise with me this verse, verse number 82 from Surah number 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the command in this life is up to be from Allah, not up to any human being. So long as I am a believer in Allah, I am a believer in the unity of Allah, I am following all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making my heart to be full of the tranquility that always be, inshallah, will be in my sight. So I only fear Allah. I only fear that not to obey Allah. But human being, I never fear. Why you never fear? Because I am a believer that life is up to the word be. And be is only up to Allah. So I only fear Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, make the hearts of the believers to be always full of tranquility. Because the believers are always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower you with His mercy. As we clarified in Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, verse number 2. Actually, I need to repeat it again and again, because around this verse are all the classes of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah number 35, verse number 2, as we clarified before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. Whatever of mercy Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. This is the mercy which every believer must have in his heart or in her heart all the time. When you tell me that you are living a big disaster or a big hardship or a lot of problems, I tell you yes. But out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make my heart to be full of His mercy. I am living the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell me, what is the meaning of this feeling the mercy while you are having all these troubles? I tell you, I am a believer that the only one who will solve the problems is Allah. The only one who will finish these troubles is Allah. Regarding my heart is full of the belief of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This mercy of Allah causes my heart to have hope, to have tranquility, and to have peace. My heart, and actually, sisters, this is the has to be the heart of the believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not here in this life to control, or to take care, or to plan, or to decide. We are created in this life to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The planner, the decider, the controller is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About me as a slave, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me the mercy in my heart, so that my heart is always full of hope, full of peace, full of tranquility. You tell me, Mona, what will happen to your problem? It is now more than 10 years. You will never lose hope. I tell you, never. Even until I am leaving this life, my heart is only full of hope, tranquility, and peace. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah showered the hearts of the believer with it. I am never related to the problem. So long as I fear Allah, I obey Allah, I do my responsibilities towards my husband, towards my children, towards my parents, towards my community, so long as I am fulfilling the trusts in my life, I only fear Allah. And because I only fear Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me to realize His mercy, make my heart to be full of His mercy. So I am never worried, I am never upset. Maybe I am crying. This is normal. Let the problem be there. I am sure that the one who is testing me with this problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long as I am fulfilling my duty towards Him, worshipping Him according to His rules, according to His book, and fulfilling my trust to all around me according to His command, all praise to Allah. I am full of tranquility. This is the tranquility which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have it when he said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, don't be sad. Don't be sad. What do you think of two people? Allah is the third of them. All the time you have to have this as a rule in your life. Always tell to yourself, myself, don't be sad. What do you think of one whom Allah is the second? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with every one of us. The mercy of Allah is touching the heart of every believer who is looking for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is living the life with the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sure, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not worried about himself. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, whose belief is equal to a belief of a nation, radiallahu anhu, he was worried about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was worried about the Islam. This is normal because the situation was very critical for Islam and for the revelation. But for us in our worldly life with these problems, normal problems of the worldly life, because life is a test. Again and again, sisters, in order to live the Quran in our worldly life, when I realize the tranquility of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he is in the cave and the people are around to catch him, and Islam was about to disappear completely, but in spite of all of this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heart was full of tranquility in this very difficult and critical time. What about us in this worldly life with some problems which are part of the worldly test? If you are a believer in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must believe that life is a test. What is the meaning of a test? Test means difficult questions. Okay? Difficult questions are not for the sake to make your life hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us in this life so that everyone will prove his reality, so that whoever deserves the paradise will be in the paradise. Whoever deserves hellfire will be in the hellfire according to their deeds. This is the goal of the difficulties and trials in the worldly life. As a believer, I believe that this is the reality of the worldly life, so I don't make myself the god of the worldly life. I don't make myself the planner and the decider and the controller of my worldly life. No, I am the servant of the controller and the decider of the worldly life, whom I obey him in all the deeds and saying. Accordingly, I am living my life inside the cave of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My heart is inside the cave of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cry when I have problems. I am calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solve the problem, but my heart never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My heart is inside the cave. Hope, tranquility, peace, activity, all the time until inshallah, one day, it is the mercy of Allah that inshallah everything will be better according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we have all of us when we recite this ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. Whenever you recite this verse, tell to yourself, myself, I am not alone. Myself, Allah is with me. Myself, don't be sad. Never despair of Allah. Have the peace. Have the tranquility. Remember our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Allah saved him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who saved the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the difficult times, very difficult? He is the only, he is the same God, Allah, who inshallah will save me so long as I am having the same rules of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we will learn that actually Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his mercy protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr by making the pursuers to believe that no one had entered the cave recently. There were the old complete spider web and the dove nested and the and laid egg in front of the mouth of the cave. These are the clear proofs that none had entered the cave recently. These were the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah mentioned in the same ayah. In surah number 9, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in surah number 9, verse number 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that situation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that Allah send down His sakina, calmness, tranquility and peace upon him and strengthened him with forces, angels, which you saw not. Okay, part of the forces which were with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the complete spider web and the dove which they were nesting on the mouth of the cave, so that the people whom the pursuers will believe that no one has entered the cave. Again and again, how can I get the benefit of this event in my worldly life? In my worldly life, I have to be sure that again and again, you believers, following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't be sad, Allah is with you. What is the meaning Allah is with you, or Allah is with me, or Allah with you, with us, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own forces, which we saw not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make these forces to help the believer, to support the believer, to take care of the believer, and the believer is not aware this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again and again, sisters, we have to know our role in this worldly life. I am a servant to Allah. I am a slave to Allah. I am living in the mercy of Allah. I need to obey Allah and to have the full trust, full belief, and full confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own forces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His mercy. Allah promised the believers to take care of them and not to be sad because He is with them. Insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with every one of us who is trying to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is taking care of every one of us in a way and with forces which we never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. Again and again, we need to remember the story of Suraqa ibn Malik, whom he was about to catch Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him to fall off the horse many times. That is to say, to prove to him that Allah is with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not alone. This is the same meaning of the same sentence of ayah number 40 in surah number 9, the words which Prophet Muhammad said to Abu Bakr. Allah make Prophet Muhammad to say it. This is the words of Allah, which Allah put on the tongue of Prophet Muhammad to say it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. This is the third proof. Allah is with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one to make the horse of Suraqa to push Suraqa down many times so that Suraqa will feel that there is another power which is preventing him from reaching Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Suraqa became the one to send all the people away from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually, This is the story of the journey of immigration, and actually every one of us has to remember that there are other countless difficulties and circumstances that beset individuals and communities, which if allowed to run their course would cause their total destruction. But then Allah administrates just a small touch of His mercy to make the people to have life instead of death and happiness instead of misery. Let us all believe and learn the rule from this journey of mercy. What do you think of a person when Allah is with him and with her? It was the rule of our Prophet in the cave, and it has to be the rule of every believer spirit all the time, especially the time of hardship. Through that rule, you can feel the tranquility which our beloved Prophet had felt, and you can feel the hope which you and every one of us is in great need of, especially in these days of corruption and hardship. Let us live the mercy of Allah in reality and feel it in the inside depths, so that we will have the patience and the power to follow the truth and to keep on following the right path of Allah. Let us have hearts like the heart of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to mankind. And inshallah now I will summarize for you, sisters, all the rules of the mercy of Allah and the will of Allah, which we learned over the last 3 weeks. Before learning about the summary of the rules which we learned from the will and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, me myself, I have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, the Almighty, for His mercy to allow us to have this knowledge, which is the source of peace, reassurance and tranquility. Actually, the rules of Allah's will are: number one, Islam means the submission to Allah's will, which He governs our life and the earth, and we live on which governs our life and the earth which we live on. Number two, once Allah will intend something, it exists, whatever it may be. He only says to it, be, and it is. Whatever Allah wills for the people occurs, and whatever He doesn't will for them will not occur. Number four, no one can protect against Allah's will, and no one can prevent Allah's will from running its course. Number five, the only proper attitude to regarding Allah's will is total submission. Regarding the rules of Allah's mercy, they are: number one, any favor associated with Allah's mercy is a favor, and any favor when Allah withholds His mercy is a hardship. Any hardship with Allah's mercy is a favor. Ease and save ways when Allah will withhold His mercy will be a destruction, while difficult problems with Allah's mercy will be a source of ease. When Allah opens gates of His mercy, this means happiness and tranquility in the deep inside of the spirit. And when Allah withholds, that is to say, closes the gates of His mercy, this equal to worry, sadness, misery, and total loss and destruction. At the end, we all have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, our Lord, we ask You for a mercy from You that guides our hearts, unites our spirits, purifies our deeds, supports us at the time of trials, save us from any evil, grants us success in our lives, saves us from the torment of the grave and the torment of the hell, and to make the paradise our final destination, inshallah. Inshallah, next week, I think after I discussed with the sisters in the class, inshallah, let us add another class about the ways to have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be showered on every one of us all the time inshaAllah. And we will learn inshaAllah from the verses of the Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ways to have the mercy in our life all the time inshaAllah. Let's make the dua of the place now inshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah li wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your pleasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.